Looks, sounds good.
Welcome to Practical Rambling Fathers. This is Father Brian.
And this is Father Tay.
So for Lent this year, we're going to do a little bit of a Bible study with y'all.
It'll be fun.
Go through the gospel for the following weekend. So you can get some back context about what you're going to be hearing for the gospel on Sunday. And maybe some applications to that. But just kind of being able to dive deep, we realize as priests, sometimes we can't get into the fullness of everything that we look at in order to come up with a homily. So, and what the Lord's drawing us into at a particular parish. So, Father Tay and I just want to take time to kind of share with you some of the prep that we do. And some of the prep we do is we look through some commentaries. And one of the commentary series that I love is the Catholic Commentaries series on Sacred Scripture. They have the entire New Testament done.
Correct.
And we have a lot of different professors that actually taught us at Sacred Heart in Detroit. Mary Healy is actually the one that wrote the Gospel of Mark commentary. So
a huge shout out to her for teaching us too as well.
Yeah, so she was one of our professors back in the day, so of Sacred Heart. So so we're just going to be kind of walking through the Gospel of Mark here for Lent, and actually for a whole year B is all Gospel of Mark. So just want to read you the Gospel that you'll hear for the first Sunday of Lent, and then we'll kind of dive in, and Father Tay and I will have a back and forth a little bit on different realities that Scripture is bringing forward. So,
correct.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The Spirit drove Jesus out into the desert, and he remained in the desert for 40 days, tempted by Satan. He was among the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
All right, Father Tay, what insights do you have for us?
I really like in the commentary, it talks about even just the first two lines, right? When it says, at once the Spirit drove him out into the desert. We've heard this word before. Especially when it came in the Old Testament, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, they were driven out of the Garden of Eden. But the difference this time is that Jesus, he is not driven out into the desert. He willingly chooses to go into the desert. And so one of the lines the commentary speaks so beautifully, it says, the Spirit immediately impels him into the consequence of that decision, and a consequence that will eventually lead to the cross. As Adam and Eve were driven out of the garden, in Genesis chapters 3, verse 24, Jesus is driven out into the desert. Right? So the reason why the desert is such a good place to go for this, because it strips away everything. Man is tested by God himself in nature. And so there he remains for 40 days. The commentary says the number, it's a long time. It signifies a period of fasting, a period of testing. So when the Israelites were driven out into the desert, led by Moses for 40 years because of their disobedience, just as Adam and Eve were driven out of the Garden of Eden by their disobedience, here is Christ, who willingly chose to go into the desert to be tempted, and he relives the story of Israel by becoming the obedient son, who is totally faithful to God in all of his trial in the desert. That blows my mind, right? Just another scripture says, God's going to fulfill all the covenants and laws. Not even an iota or a dot will be left unturned until the Lord comes. And right away, we see this kind of parallel. Like, out of disobedience, the death into the world, sin into the world. And now, Jesus Christ, who is perfect, born without sin, is willing, choosing to go and suffer, right? He who knew no sin took on the form of a human beings, right? And so he's being tested in the desert. So what is the biggest animal lurking, prowling like a roaring lion? It's Satan. So Jesus is having this huge battle with Satan in the desert.
Yeah, I mean, the verbiage is the same. Driven out in Adam and Eve because of the fall, were driven out. And so Jesus is, yeah, back what Father Tay was saying, like their disobedience to, you know. The Lord said, be fruitful and multiply. You can have everything in the garden, but don't eat of the tree of good and evil. Majority of humanity only remembers the but.
Yes.
We don't really
often, which is frustrating.
Yeah. Which we don't often remember.
Yep.
And everything else in the garden is yours.
Correct.
We just hear the but and we're like, ooh. And the evil one's like, ooh. And like,
yep.
We get confused about all the other good things of life other than this one thing that, like, the Lord's like, no, you cannot choose what is good and evil. That would make you God, and you are not little puny, anyways, little humans. But anyways, so Jesus, who is God, walks into, is led by the Lord into the desert and to be tempted. But the cool part is like Mark even says, like, he's ministered to, right? He's ministered to by the angels. And so just the ways that we are ministered to, different ways that the Lord is ministering to us through priests, through the Eucharist, through the sacraments, through good friendships, through pursuit of, I was just thinking pursuit of excellence because of the big threes that I have with college kids. Chastity, sobriety, and excellence is kind of the big threes that Focus does a lot of promotion of. So just how we're being ministered to and how the Lord is still ministering to us. And sometimes, I don't know, life kind of feels like a desert sometimes. Mm-hmm. And that's how the church fathers would reveal to it. So,
but there's Father always Tate, hope.
Do you want to read the St. Lawrence thing?
Yes.
Speaking about church fathers, this insight that he has.
Yes. So before I read it, I just want you to know there's hope. Just because it feels dry, just if it feels like God is not answering your prayers, there's hope. Since St. Lawrence talks about this too. He says, St. Lawrence of Brindisi comments, Christ came into the world to do battle against Satan, to do away with idolatry, and to turn the world to faith and piety and the worship of the true God. He could have accompanied this by using the weapons of his might and coming as he will come to judge in glory and majesty, just as he manifested himself in his transfiguration. Who would not then have believed in Christ? But in order that his victory might be the more glorious, he willed to fight Satan in our weak flesh. It is as if an unarmed man, right hand bound, were to fight with his left hand alone against a powerful army. If he emerged victorious, his victory will be regarded as all the more glorious. So Christ conquered Satan with the right hand of his divinity bound, and using against him only the left hand of his weak humanity. Boom. Mic drop.
Boom.
That's awesome. Christ has won the battle, even with a handicap.
Is that what? Yeah. Wow, you kind of went out of there. Cool. That's awesome. So even with a handicap, the Lord was able to do the will of the Father. And perfect. Going on to, so, I mean, Mark's gospel is all of three verses here, but there's still more to come. Yes. So a new teaching with authority is Mark's kind of next move is 114 through 45. And so it it's the second part of it. So Mark, what was that, Father Cassidy was our professor?
Yeah.
So he had a
Mark
phrase.
Mark the Stark.
Mark the Stark. So yeah. Mark, as a gospel writer, doesn't have any
extra fluffy words.
There's no fluff. There's no Father Tay fluff. Father just, Tay yeah. is an amazing fluffer.
Yes, yes.
In seminary.
This is my creative writing default.
Yeah, his creating writing was okay, why'd you put all those words in that sentence?
So anyways. My three sentences is easily destroyed by one by sentence fluff. Of Mark's.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then it was Matt the Meticulous.
Yep.
Do you remember what Luke was? I don't remember what Luke was.
I don't either.
But Mark the Stark. Anyway.
Yep.
So Mark the Stark. This is the second part of the same reading that we just read. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So
it wasn't Galilee close to where Jesus was born, right? So it's kind of interesting that he's preaching Galilee, with authority. Yeah.
Galilee is the region up that Nazareth and Capernaum and all those places are in. It's the region of Galilee. So it's the region of Galilee. He was in Nazareth, but yes.
Can you imagine? It's like putting terms of today's English, right? You're first ordained as a priest. The bishop sends you back to your home parish. All right. This is what you're going to do.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's arrested. He's handed over. He's handed over, and this is a huge thing for Mark. Mark is using words, as we said. Like, Mark is using the word of, like, being thrown into the desert, and Mark is, again, using the word of being arrested. But the Greek actually, paradidomoi, mm-hmm. You want to take a shot at that?
I think you said it right.
Paradidomoi? Yep.
Yeah.
Anyways, literally means to be handed over. It's the same word that is later applied to Jesus as betrayed in the Passion narrative. So it's the same Greek word. And it foreshadows the cross that looms over at the beginning of Jesus' mission. So Mark is making a very real prefiguration of Jesus. Because John became to prepare the way of the Lord.
Yep.
We know that. But he also is a prefigurement of what Christ is eventually going to have to go through to the extent that there's the parallel there. And so the same is used. Betrayal, handed over,
mm-hmm.
Arrested. Mm-hmm. All those different words is the same Greek word that they're being used. Jesus is about to proclaim the gospel of God, the good news of salvation that is both from God and about God. And verse 15 sums up the core of this message. The fullness of time means that in Jesus, God is breaking into history to fulfill his promises, beginning with the whole plan of creation. It is the decisive moment and a turning point. This moment is a fixed and determined long ago by God and marks the beginning of a definite stage in salvation history. So the kingdom of God becoming a reality yes. in time and space, which up until now, it's just been a prefiguration throughout all of the Old Testament of yep. this is going to happen and God's promises are going to come true and have been revealed. So,
yeah, so it's no longer just a hopeful prophecy, but they're seeing the prophecy being enacted and fulfilled right in front of them. Yeah, one thing fascinating about that too is, you know, the kingdom of God, right? So before the arrival of Jesus, people kept saying, right, the kingdom of God is going to come. Will you be ready? And now Jesus says, the kingdom of God is at hand, right? Repent and believe in the gospel. I just want to go back to, it's fascinating to see how all these prefigurements kind of come into play. Like, for example, John the Baptist, right? He was preaching the truth. The King Herod didn't like that, right? Because his wife hated that he keeps reminding her that, hey, you and King Herod, that marriage should never have happened. So she always resented John the Baptist. So what did King Herod do? He threw John the Baptist in jail. Jesus was also, on the night that he was betrayed and he was handed over, right, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was also thrown into jail. And then when John the Baptist, when the daughter of King Herod performs a dance, he says, "I'll give you whatever you want. Go ask." He said, "Go tell me what you want." So she goes back to her mother and says, what is it that you want? And her mother says, I want the head of John the Baptist, right? Fast forward to the time of Jesus, Pontius Pilate, right? Ask the people, this, I find this man innocent. I'll give you two options. Who am I going to release, Barabbas or this King Jesus? Right? And so the people, once again, they converse with themselves and they wanted to release this murderer, right? The wife of King Herod, Herodias, wanted nothing to do with John the Baptist and to kill him. And then when Jesus was being brought forth into Pontius Pilate, I love the movie The Passion of Christ, who but came? The wife of Pontius Pilate says, you should do nothing with this man. So once again, it shows the fulfillment. You know, back and forth, back and forth. So I the more you read the commentaries, you're like, holy smokes. I don't know how you cannot believe that there's a God. Because who else could go back and look at all these unfulfilled promises and say, hey, Jesus, you got to fulfill them all. Like starting from the beginning to the top and ending with your life.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's great. Great insight. The thing that kind of strikes me is like Jesus all of a sudden starts saying repent, which is exactly what John the Baptist was saying. So what?
Yes. Yeah.
What does he add? Which is actually super strange. Like yep. all the prophets of the Old Testament continually said, repent, 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 repent.
Yes.
Come back to the Lord, like with all your heart. Come back to the Lord with all your heart. Come back to the Lord with all your heart. Come back to your heart and Lord, Lord. Jesus changes it. Repent and believe in the gospel.
Yep. What is this gospel?
Repent and believe in the gospel. So John the Baptist has already started the call again to repentance, to this turning towards the Lord. But he has this invitation, trusting acceptance to yield to what God is doing in him. And the kingdom for us and for that time was near enough that anyone who so chooses could reach out and lay hold of it through faith. So, and I actually just got done preaching about this, and I normally preach about this on Ash Wednesday, is like some of us are really good at repenting, and we're horrible at believing in the gospel. And some of us are really, really good at believing in the gospel and absolutely horrible at repenting.
It's true.
You got to get closer, bud.
It's definitely true, yeah.
So there's this sense of it's a both and thing. You can't do one without the other, and you have to do both and hold them firmly. And to repent is to turn away from my vomit of sin and not return to it. And believing in the gospel is that not only has God done something about my sin, but I can be forgiven from it. And then I step out in faith.
Yes.
To live a different life. And I don't have to go back to my vomit. And it's unsettling because I want to control my life. And I want to fix it myself.
Yep.
And the Lord is like, no, dang it. It's my kingdom, not yours.
Correct.
So, like, come into my kingdom. I'm Lord, you're not. And then we just get into this wrestling fight that is just super, super enjoyable. I love it. It's my favorite.
And exhausting too.
It's exhausting. It is not okay, maybe some days. Yeah. It's really easy to, some days it's really easy to surrender, some days it's not. But
yeah.
Like the Lord adds that into that is like, it's just the goodness of like how that comes about. So kind of the so what, there's a few different applications. That's what I also love about this commentary is there's a few different applications of it. Father Tay, you want to take some of the keys off of the first section there of reflections, applications?
Sure. The first thing that I'll go back to the kind of the beginning. of it too, where it talks about this battle, right? Early on, you know, because this Christian tradition has always recognized the spiritual battle as just an essential part for our life in following Jesus Christ, right? But we're living in a world where there's almost this false belief that the more suffering there is, that means good is losing. No. The Catechism teaches us that Jesus has already won the battle. Jesus is victorious. Our God is victorious, and he never loses. The reason why it's so hard is that the seductions of the temptation are so strong. And that's why Jesus goes into the desert to kind of rid himself of these temptations, to confront them head on with the grace of God. And so during Lent, that's why, how many of us have come up with beautiful resolutions and things that God has challenged us, and we're able to keep it for the first few days, right? And then all of a sudden, you're like, Father, it's halfway through Lent, and I don't know why I'm failing in my Lenten resolutions. I'm like, it's normal. This is the battle. This is why we keep getting up every day, just like Christ did, right? He fasted for 40 days. He fought on with each temptation, and he responded to each temptation with the Word of God. And so my encouragement for you is, don't lose hope. Just because there's a lot of suffering in the world does not mean that God has already been victorious. God has won the battle, and he's asking us to be faithful. So if we're faithful to him and we don't give up, we will always win with Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and just to add to that, second part, reflection, application, kind of like the so what of this whole thing, is to talk about Mark doesn't actually have the Lord's Prayer in it.
Yes.
Mark is so stark that he's like, nah, Lord's Prayer, all the other synoptic gospels, which means all the gospels except, we probably should explain what synoptic gospels mean, because we're going to be doing this for the next 5 weeks. Synoptic gospels are, Father Tay?
Matthew, Mark, and Luke.
Boom, not John. John's its own beast altogether.
Yep.
Which could be a fun thing to do sometime. Yeah, well, yeah. I guess we'll get into John for Holy Week, because John is used a lot for Holy Week.
Yeah.
Anyways, there's a lot of cool stuff that John does that nobody else does. But
yeah. But
what is the interpretation of the kingdom of God? What does that mean?
Yes.
Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yeah. Essentially, it means letting the God be God. And me not being God, me being his creature inside of his kingdom.
Correct. We're not the savior. Let go. Let go and let God be God.
So it's to, you know, allow the will of the Father, which is sheer love in heaven, as it is in heaven on earth. So, like, allowing the Lord to be with me in my triumphs, in my suffering, in my pain, in my joys, in my sorrows, in blah, 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 that we all go through.
Correct.
And to surrender our heart to him and to allow him to be my refuge and my strength, and not myself or not my spouse or not my friends or not my money or not my job or not my blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to get coined for blah, 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 blah. Anyways, and Paul observes, whoever chooses to live in the kingdom experiences peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're trying to do. Is Lent is not a time of living in tension and conflict.
Correct.
It's trying to go to authentic reality of living with the Lord. So what in my life, and what I was just talking with this about with some of the college kids is like at the Newman is like, you listen to modern music and you are like anything but calm afterwards. Like you're like, I'm going to turn it up because it's like, and then you're just agitated. But like listening to praise and worship, you're a little bit more calm, a little bit more calm, praising the Lord. Okay.
Yep.
You go to Gregorian chants, Latin, like sisters and brothers, like singing in harmony and like,
it's beautiful.
Up and downs and flows. Beautiful. And like, I don't even know what they're saying. I don't know Latin really at all.
Yeah.
But dang, it like, it changes the environment completely.
Yes.
And like, that's what the peace and the calm, that's the closest thing. I mean, obviously adoration and prayer and all those types of things.
Yeah.
to do those types of things. So that's what I got.
Beautiful. I would just encourage you, for these episodes where we look at the gospel, find some quiet time just to read the gospel. Even if there's nothing happening in that prayer period, it's always fruitful, because we have to remember that the word of God is living and effective. And God makes this really awesome guarantee in the book of Isaiah. He says, "My word won't come back to me until it has accomplished what it needs to accomplish." So during the season of Lent, find those quiet moments of 2 or 3 minutes and just read over the gospel for this upcoming Sunday. That's all you got to do. Just read over it. Allow the words to ponder in day in and day out.
We already read it, bro.
I know, but still, read it again.
Read it again.
Listen to it again.
Do it again.
Well, anyways, thank you so much for tuning in to our podcast. We hope that your Lenten journey will be fruitful and as these scripture comes alive for you. Thanks for tuning in.
Boom. Stay holy, my friends. Peace out. We'll be releasing on Wednesday every week throughout Lent.